Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm very, very pleased to be with you on this webinar, teleseminar. And I'm going to be going over a few things to help you understand what it means to heal aloneness and emptiness. And then I'm going to give people an opportunity to do some work with me if you'd like to. And I also have a big list of questions that people asked on the site, so we'll get to some of those as well. So let's talk about what actually causes the feeling of emptiness and aloneness. It's actually one thing that causes that feeling, and that is a lack of love, inside. But too often we think that it's a lack of somebody else's love. And really, that's not what causes the feeling of aloneness inside and the feeling of emptiness. It's a lack of knowing how to bring love into ourselves and take loving action in our own behalf. The feeling of aloneness is different than the feeling of loneliness. Loneliness does come from not having somebody to share love with, or the person that you're with is shut down. So loneliness comes from an interaction with another or not having another in your life. But the aloneness and the emptiness that I'm talking about doesn't have to do with anybody else. This has to do only with our relationship with ourselves and the fact that we are not bringing love down into ourselves. And of course, most people just haven't learned how to do that. If you think back to your families, I'm sure most of you did not have parents who role modeled taking personal responsibility for their own feelings, for loving themselves, for taking loving action, for showing you how to bring love inside of yourself. So think about where you try to get love. What is your dependable source of love? Usually people want somebody else to be there. Dependable source of love. In fact, this is why many, many people say they want to be in a relationship, because they want to get love. They want to be loved. And they believe that if they can get love and be loved, then they'll feel safe, then they'll feel worthy, then they'll feel full inside. But I got to tell you, I've been working with individuals and couples and businesses for 42 years. And one of the things I know, without a shadow of a doubt, is that if you're not filling yourself with love and you get into a relationship, you are going to continue to be empty and feel alone inside. Certainly another person's love feels great for the moment, but they're not there 24/7. We're the only ones that are with ourselves 24/7. And if we're judging ourselves, if we're abandoning ourselves by ignoring our own feelings, if we're numbing out with addictions or we're staying in our head and avoiding our feelings, then the problem is that somebody else's love doesn't really get in. You know, it's like if you have a child and you're being very unloving to that child, you're ignoring the child, you're judging the child, somebody else comes along and gives a lot of love to that child, it feels great, but the child still would need your love and still would feel really, really badly at not getting your love. And that's what happens on the inner level. So if you can imagine that your feeling self is like a child, and that feeling self, that child inside, needs your love. And that means needs you to learn to attend to your own feelings and to take responsibility for them rather than staying in your head, rather than avoiding your feelings with various addictions, rather than going into judgment and trying to control yourself and get yourself to do things right so that other people will love you. It's about learning to do all that for yourself. And so think for a moment, how do you try and get love from other people? What do you do to try and get love? Do you try to conform to what other people want you to be? Do you try to be perfect? Do you try to do everything the other person wants? Do you become a victim? Do you get angry and blaming? You know, there's all kinds of things that we do to try and get other people to love us. If you think about it, how often has this really worked? How often have you really felt full inside as a result of all the things that people try and do to try and get love? And what happens when you are externally sourced? And by that I mean that you make another person your dependable source of love. That's a very scary way to live, is to be relying on somebody else, because what if they don't feel like loving you that day? Or what if they leave? Or what if they die? Then what? You're really left hanging there. And so we all need to find a spiritual source of love, a spiritual, dependable source of love. And in fact, that is the only dependable source of love that there is. And this can be different for each of us. It may be that some of you turn to Jesus for a dependable source of love, and others may turn to just a universal energy, or Buddha, or Allah, or whatever. It may be that you're turning to your own higher self. It may be that you turn to a teacher or guardian angel. It really doesn't matter what that is for you. What matters is that you're open to it. So let me talk for a moment about self-abandonment, because this is what creates the feeling of aloneness and emptiness. It's not being abandoned by somebody else. It's self-abandonment that causes this feeling. Now, in the inner bonding process, there's only two intentions, and one is the intention to learn about what's loving to yourself, and the other is the intention to protect against pain with some kind of controlling behavior. The problem is that every time we try and control, we are abandoning ourselves, because we try to control others by giving ourselves up or getting mad, or we try and control ourselves with judgments, as I said, or turning to addictions. And all of these end up making us feel really, really alone and empty inside. And so all of these are forms of self-abandonment. And this is what creates the feelings of aloneness and emptiness. When we stay in our head instead of being present in our bodies for our own feelings, when we turn to food or alcohol or drugs to avoid feeling our feelings, when we judge ourselves to try and get ourselves to do everything right so other people will love us, this all makes us feel alone and empty. And when we make another person responsible for our sense of safety and our sense of worth, all of this will create feelings of aloneness and emptiness on the inner level. Now, I work one-to-one with many clients, and very, very often they feel alone and empty, and they may have wonderful jobs, and they may be earning a lot of money, and they may be married to somebody that at one point they felt they loved. They may have children. They may have everything. I work with many clients who have everything that they thought that they thought would make them happy, that they thought would fill them up and make them feel safe and fill up that empty place and take away the aloneness. And then they call me because they realize that none of that is doing it. And they're confused because they've been told that if they made enough money and they got married and they had children and they had a nice house and a nice car, that they would feel safe and fulfilled inside, and they don't. And the reason that they don't is because even with all of that that they have, they're abandoning themselves on the inner level. And that creates emptiness, and it creates aloneness, and it creates anxiety, and it creates depression. And until they learn to stop abandoning themselves, it doesn't matter what's going on externally, they are still going to feel really bad. And so this is what I work with. I have people that come to my five-day intensives, people that come to my workshops, people that come as members of the website, and they come because they feel that emptiness and aloneness and anxiety and depression, and they don't know why. And it's always the same thing. It's always the self-abandonment. Regardless of what's going on externally, when we abandon ourselves, we are going to end up feeling alone and empty inside. So what heals this is learning and practicing the inner bonding process, which is a process that's about learning to tune into your feelings and take responsibility for them, learning to connect to a personal source of spiritual guidance that guides you in what would be loving to you. It's a very, very powerful process. It's not something that you can think about and is going to change your life. Inner bonding is one of those things like exercise. You can't think about exercise and get into shape. You have to actually exercise. And inner bonding is that kind of process. It's something you have to do. It's certainly fine to read about it and learn about it, but there are a lot of people who believe that you can get something in your head and understand it, and that's going to change your life, and it isn't. What's going to change your life is the actual practice of the six steps of inner bonding, and all of you can learn these steps by coming to our website, downloading our free course. We have a 40-page free course that comes through email, and you can begin to learn the inner bonding process that way. You can learn it through the books, through the CDs, DVDs. We've got a lot on the site that will help you learn the process. People learn it very deeply when they become members of our website, and we have 7 free days for you to try that out. And people learn it when they work one-to-one with me on the phone and with the other inner bonding facilitators. We have many facilitators that are very, very well trained that people can work with. They learn it when they come to our 5-day intensives, which is a very, very deep experience, very deep way to learn about that. In fact, I have one coming up on the 23rd of June. In a few weeks, I have one opening. So if any of you are interested in that, it's in Dolores, Colorado. It's a beautiful retreat center. So when you learn and practice the inner bonding process, this enables you to develop a personal connection with a dependable source of love, a dependable source of wisdom and guidance. This enables you to start to tune into what it really means to take loving action in your own behalf. And when you do take loving action in your own behalf, that's when you start to feel safe inside. That's when you start to feel full inside. And that's when you heal that aloneness and that emptiness. And so it's a very, very powerful process. One of the things that happens with the process is that you learn to be able to manage what we call the core feelings. There's two kinds of feelings that we have, and one is wounded feelings, and these are the feelings that we cause, like the aloneness and the emptiness. These are feelings we cause, the anxiety, the depression. We cause these feelings with our own self-abandonment. But then there's core feelings. And core feelings, like I said about loneliness, also heartache, heartbreak, sadness, sorrow, grief, helplessness over others. These are the feelings of life. These are the feelings that may be caused by other people, by circumstances, by events, the loss of people, people being angry, people being unloving. These are very difficult feelings to feel. And as we were growing up, most of us had trauma. We had events in our lives that were very difficult, and we didn't have anybody to help us manage the loneliness and the heartache and the heartbreak of these life events. And so we had to avoid them. We had to learn to numb out and shut down and not feel them. But when we grow up, we need to learn to manage these feelings, because all the addictions and all the self-abandonment comes from avoiding these core feelings. And so it's vital that you learn to manage these core feelings, and you can't do it without a spiritual connection. There's no real way of bringing in enough love and enough comfort to manage the core feelings without a spiritual connection. So it's vital to learn to have that in a very personal way, not so much in a way that many people have learned, many people who are religious and they believe in God, but they might not have a personal connection with God or a personal connection with their source of love and wisdom and comfort. And so this is what's so important, is to learn to have that. And the practice itself of inner bonding is what develops it. It develops what we call the loving adult self, which is the part of us that is able to move into an intention to learn and is able to open to and access that personal source of guidance. And with the many thousands of people that I've worked with over these 42 years and the many people that I work with every day on the membership side and on the phone and in the intensives and workshops, these people do learn how to access their personal source of guidance, and it makes all the difference in the world in their ability to manage their core feelings and their ability to take loving action in their own behalf, which then leads to feeling full and happy inside, and then leads to be able to have loving relationships, which we all want. We want to have loving relationships, but we can't have that when we're abandoning ourselves. In fact, self-abandonment is the one major cause of relationship problems. When people abandon themselves, then they're making the other person responsible. That's called a codependent relationship. That relationship does not work. That relationship is a disaster. And that's why so many relationships end up in divorce, is because people don't know how to take responsibility for their own feelings. And so what they do instead is they try and control. And what happens with two people when they're trying to control each other is they either give themselves up and then they feel angry, or they go into resistance. Nobody likes to be controlled. Everybody wants to be in control. They don't want to be controlled. And the more people try to control in order to get love and avoid pain and feel safe, the worse the relationship gets. And so people meet and they fall in love, and then as soon as they're invested in the relationship, they start to control, and then they wonder why they lose the love. And the only way out of this dilemma is to learn how to love yourself. And that's what the inner bonding process is all about. And so the more you learn to take loving care of yourself, the fuller you feel, the more you make kindness and caring and tenderness and gentleness and compassion your guiding light, the more you will learn to love yourself, and then you can enjoy sharing your love with others rather than always trying to get love. This is what heals your aloneness and fills up the emptiness. So for your next steps, I highly recommend that you take our free course, that you come to our membership site for the free 7 days and start to learn and practice the inner bonding process. Some of you might be interested in calling our office for a one-to-one appointment with me or finding one of the facilitators on the website. And very shortly, in the next couple of weeks, our software program, SelfQuest, which teaches the inner bonding process in a very deep way, will become available for those of you that are interested in really, really going into depth with the inner bonding process and doing a very, very deep level of healing on your own. It's an incredibly powerful software program that will be available for everybody shortly. Okay, I am going to start to take some questions. Those of you who would like me to do a little bit of work with you, you can press *7, and that will unmute you. And then you can let me know that you would like to ask a question and do a little bit of work with me. So is anybody wanting to press *7 right now?
Hi, Dr. And, Paul. Margaret Paul.
Yes, hi.
Hi, this
and
is
what's your name?
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi there. The challenge, The challenge I have is with bipolar.
Okay.
And as a result of being bipolar, I have raged verbally and done things that I feel horrible about.
I totally understand that, honey. I think it's, you know, it's hugely challenging when you've got imbalances that are leading to behaving in ways that you're not happy with yourself. When were you diagnosed with bipolar?
About 16 years ago.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit about what you have done to deal with it? Is it just medication, or have you dealt with it with nutrition or anything else?
I'm not very adequate about addressing my nutrition.
Okay, I really want to encourage you right there to start with that, because I've worked with many people who are bipolar, who find that they even get off medication completely as a result of two things, and one is their nutrition, and the other is practicing inner bonding.
Okay.
So while I understand that you're kind of beating yourself up for, you know, how you've treated other people, what you want to focus on right now is how you treat yourself.
Right.
Because if you're not treating yourself with love, whether you're bipolar or not, people are going to take it out on other people. And so I really want to encourage you to take yourself on, take that little girl on inside of you who so desperately needs your love, and start to care about her. Start to care about what you put in your body. Learn about what is affecting your body, because I assure you that so much of what's going on chemically is nutritional.
Do you work with people on that level?
I do, yes.
How much do you charge an hour? Should I ask this call-in?
Oh, it's fine. You can ask me. I charge $200 for 45 minutes, but I also have many facilitators who charge a lot less than I do who also work with it and are very good. So if people cannot afford the $200 that I charge, there's many, many other options.
Okay. Okay.
And also, some people work with me every week and some every other week and some every 3 weeks, some every 4 weeks, just depending on what they can afford if they really want to work with me. I can give people an awful lot to do. Like, some people work with me just once a month, and I give them an awful lot to do in that month, and they make tremendous progress. So,
In the membership, do you address dietary?
We have a lot on the membership, yes, a lot on the membership site about diet. We have a whole section of articles on it, and we have on the membership site, people can ask questions directly of me and of other facilitators, and we answer you right there, you know, within the same day.
Awesome.
And it's tremendously helpful, and you can get on the discussion boards. There's so many ways of getting help. But
and how much is the membership?
The membership is $49.97 a month. It's one of the best deals in town. We also do provide people who have who cannot afford any facilitation and they want some. We have facilitators in training who work for free so that people can get help. We also have a sliding scale. If you go on to register, you'll see that if you cannot afford the $49.97, you can call our office and you can get in for less. We hope people pay the $49.97 because all the money from the website goes into supporting the site and the SelfQuest program. We have our SelfQuest program is a nonprofit organization, and SelfQuest is going to be donated into prisons and schools to help people heal on that level. And so everything that comes in goes out into the nonprofit to helping heal high school students and prisoners. So we hope people will pay the full price, but we don't want to turn people away because we know how powerful the inner bonding process is to help. So anybody who really wants the help can get it, regardless of your financial situation.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
So I look forward to getting to know you better if you decide to join the website.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else who would like to ask anything?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, what's your name?
My name is David Stan.
Hello, David.
Hello.
Go ahead. What's your question, David?
Well, I'd like to start out by saying I think this is a wonderful program, and the fact that you guys have a sliding scale says to me that it's really about helping people.
Oh, it really is about helping people, yes. We know how powerful interbinding is, and we truly want to be helping people.
Okay. My question is, I've heard of a gentleman named Gerald O'Donnell.
And
Gerald O'Donnell, have you ever heard of this man?
No. What about that person?
Well, he seems to feel he's very much in alignment with what you're saying, but
okay.
He feels that there is also a nigh sentient presence, a low hum matrix, for lack of a better term, a hatred, and that if we are to numerize our vibration from 1 to 10, 10 being pure joy and 1 being depression, that there is a matrix that keeps us in stress and anger and fear and keeps us busy, you know.
That's what we call the wounded self.
Oh, okay.
The wounded self keeps us very busy in our minds. The wounded self is filled with fear and false beliefs that have been programmed into us, and that's what keeps our frequency very, very low. And the inner bonding process is a very powerful process for raising your frequency, for healing the false beliefs that keep you limited.
So then here's my question.
Yeah.
I believe that if we reach our 10 vibration, pure joy, that there is a supernatural phenomenon that appears in the hatrix. It's a supernatural phenomenon, but that in our divine state, through the One, there are many gifts that we can enjoy that we're not
okay,
able
but
to access.
I'm not clear on what your question is, David.
My question is, do you feel that we, as we come here, we are all messiahs, that we all have a supernatural phenomenon once we reach the 10 and trust in the One, where we are all connected?
It is my experience, David, that we all have the ability to be that spiritually connected, that we all can become our own gurus, that we can all connect on a divine level, that we don't have to be particularly talented, that it has to do with our intention, and that's why in inner bonding, there's only the two intentions, to protect and control or to learn about love. And when you move into an intention to learn about love, yes, you will reach those higher frequencies. That is what happens with people who truly devote themselves to learning about loving themselves first and then sharing that love with others.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I'd like to take a couple of questions here that people who wrote in. And so Ethel asks, I have a question about your article, Why Are My Partners Always Needy? This is an article that just came out. You explain neediness perfectly, but the subtitle mentions control, and you don't talk about that in the article. Could you elaborate? Also, do they usually go together and how? So when people are needy, which means that they're abandoning themselves, and therefore they're needy. They want somebody else to make them feel safe and make them feel okay and make them feel loved. Then they are in the position of having to try and control getting the other person or other people to do that for them. The moment we abandon ourselves, we will automatically go into trying to control the other person or other people, and we may do it by guilting or being pathetic or giving ourselves up or crying or getting angry or blaming there's many, many ways that people try and control. And that's pretty automatic the moment we abandon ourselves. And the moment we abandon ourselves, we are needy because we've left ourselves in. And our feelings, our child inside has needs. And if we're not going to meet them, then we're automatically needy for other people. So then another question here from David is, I find that my biggest problem is the programming of my youth coupled with traumatic physical, verbal, emotional, and psychological abuse. What do you think is the most effective technique to completely releasing the programming of the past? Well, given that I have been working with inner bonding for so long, and I worked as a traditional therapist for many years before Spirit brought in inner bonding, I know that inner bonding along with some other techniques like the emotional freedom technique is very important for releasing old programming. But the inner bonding process excuse me, is absolutely essential, because when you've been abused, it means that you did not get what you needed. There was nobody there to give you what you needed. In fact, they did the opposite. They were harming you, as you said, physically, verbally, emotionally, psychologically. Your job is to learn to be the parent to yourself that you never had, and that's what inner bonding does. And so when you learn to do that, when you embrace inner bonding along with some other things that help support the healing, like the emotional freedom technique, various kinds of body work, breath work, there's a lot that people can do to help themselves really get in touch with themselves. But the inner bonding process itself is vital. It's essential in terms of developing the loving adult self so that you can heal. And the only way that the false beliefs of the past get released and get healed is when you have your connection to a spiritual source of truth, because the programmed mind has no way to access truth. We cannot find truth within our own wounded ego mind. We have to go to a higher mind in order to access truth. And it's only through the process of accessing the truth and then taking loving care of ourselves based on the truth that our false beliefs actually heal. And so I want to encourage you to learn and practice the inner bonding process. So is there somebody online now that would like to ask a question?
This is Janet. May I
ask? Hello, Janet.
Hello. Thank you for having this this talk tonight.
You're welcome.
I am finding that I believe that structure, I know when I've had structure, when I practice structure and discipline, that I do better when I take time to sit with myself and invite my feelings to the surface and talk to God, that I feel better. And yet I resist the discipline. I'm wondering, what is that? How do I get through that?
Well, it's very, very important to recognize that the part of us that resists it is what I was saying is the wounded self. And the reason that the wounded self, this left brain ego programmed part of us, resists it is because the very basis of the wounded self is that it wants to control. You know, we developed this when we were young too, because we felt so out of control and we had to try and have some control over things. And so we developed that part of us. And it's deeply, deeply devoted and addicted to control. So the idea of setting aside time for a practice where you're opening and you're surrendering, you're talking to God, is exactly what the wounded part of you doesn't want. And so that part of you will do everything it can to sabotage you. But it's very important to recognize that that part of you actually is like a little child with a big megaphone. It's not actually that powerful. It seems like it is, but as you practice inner bonding, what happens is that you develop your loving adult self more and more and more, and you recognize that who you are when you're open to learning about loving yourself and you're connected with your spiritual guidance is far, far more powerful than the wounded self. And I've gone through this myself. I know exactly what you're struggling with, because when I first started doing inner bonding and realized the power of it, I mean, I was just kind of blown away by it. But I was in tremendous resistance. It took me a couple years after inner bonding came through from spirit for me to really get serious about practicing it, even though I knew that it was so powerful, because my wounded self just did not want me to be that powerful and did not want me to be surrendering to a higher source. The wounded self always believes that a higher source is going to control you and make you do things you don't want to do, or take away what's important to you, which all of that is just huge, huge false beliefs. Because that's never, ever what happens. That's not who spirit is. Spirit is here to just bring you into your joy. But it took me a couple of years, and finally I realized, this just isn't working, and I really got very disciplined about it, and that was like 25 years ago. And since then, I've been extremely disciplined about inner bonding, and it's just such an incredible joy. I mean, I look back and I think, why did I fight it so hard? Because it brings such joy and such freedom and such sense of safety and such deep sense of self-worth. But you have to realize that this little kid with the big megaphone is going to do everything she can to stop you from being that disciplined, even though you feel good when you do it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. One extra question to ask you, what you
sure.
said for me, was could it, the control would also be, I love the visual, first of all, of a little kid with a megaphone. That works for me.
Okay, good.
But the wounded self is being afraid to feel the pain, that might be...
The wounded self is always afraid to feel the pain. The wounded self is that part that believes that you can't manage the pain. And that's why the more that you practice inner bonding and you develop your spiritual connection and you learn to manage the core pain of childhood, the core present pain, then the wounded self starts to relax because the wounded self gets that there really is a part of you that knows how to manage this.
I almost feel like she doesn't want to feel the pain because she's afraid of the happiness.
No, that's not true of the wounded
okay.
self. No, the wounded
okay.
self would love to be happy.
Okay.
But she doesn't believe that you can manage pain. The wounded self has a lot of false beliefs about pain.
Okay, that makes
sense. That it's going to overwhelm you, that you're going to die from it, that it'll be unending, that there's no real way to
yeah.
manage it. I mean,
it does feel like that, yeah.
Yeah, a whole lot of false beliefs.
It's a practice.
Yeah, and that's why when you practice inner bonding and you develop that loving adult who can be very kind and gentle and compassionate towards the deeper level of core feelings, and sometimes we need help with that. We can't always do that alone. You may need to reach out to a facilitator to help you move through those feelings, especially if there's a lot of trauma. I don't recommend anybody who had a lot of trauma to ever try and go through it alone. You need facilitation when that's what's happened for you. It's just too much pain to manage by yourself. One of the things that we do a lot at our 5-day intensives is that we do a lot of holding and nurturing, reparenting somebody who's had a lot of trauma in their life and really has no sense of what it's like to feel safe. And we create such a safe environment there, just filled with love, to allow people to go deep into their pain and learn to manage it and release it and do the healing work that they need to do. And it's a wonderful environment for doing that level of healing.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Is there anybody else who'd like to ask a question?
I have a question,
Dr. Okay,
Martin.
What's your name?
This is Valerie. And
hello, Valerie.
Hi, I just marvel at your intelligence. I've been doing the inner bonding, reading your books. I haven't attended any seminars, but I've been doing it for over a year now, and I notice a huge difference. I'm happy. I every day I'm creative. And I have one question that is, how do you go to the next level? Like, I'm at a new level of happiness while caring for myself, yet I notice that there's also this threshold of, okay, what can I do beyond this? And there's a little bit of trepidatious feeling that,
well, it,
how
you
do
know,
you make
it's my
better?
It's my experience that as you keep on practicing inner bonding, spirit brings in new challenges, and that when you embrace them, they take you to the next level. Life is not static, and as you really get what it's like to take care of yourself where you are, life seems to bring in new experiences, new challenges, but also sometimes just doing it by yourself. I don't know if you're doing it by yourself. Are you working with a facilitator or with any groups, or are you on the website? Or
Well, I read all of your articles. I've really applied a lot of your information. I have a life coach, but other than that.
Okay. Well, I want to encourage you to join the website because as a member, that will take you much deeper. It's when we get touched off by other people That's one of the things that happens in the intensive, is that people watch each other work and do their deep work, and they're so touched off by the other person's work. They say, wow, I didn't even know that that was there in me, and I need to be exploring that and dealing with that and embracing that. And the same thing happens on the website, because people ask questions, and then if you come in like for a free membership for 7 days, you can see that people will ask a question, and then other people will come on and say, wow, that question really touched me off, and the answer just really affected me, and here's what I'm dealing with. And so there's a lot of sharing of what goes on, and that's how you get to the next level. We just don't always get there by ourselves.
Right, and I feel like I want to engage more with life. Like, there's a lot of reading and book learning, but there is something that I'm hungry for, like connection.
Right. Yeah, that's right, because our deepest level of learning is in relationship. Mm-hmm. We can learn a lot by ourselves, but the real issues, the fears of rejection and the fears of engulfment and all the self-abandonment that goes on when we're with somebody that's important to us, we need to get that touched off. That's one of the major reasons for being in a relationship, is to get our deeper issues touched off so that we can embrace them and learn from them and heal them. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we don't learn everything we need to learn all by ourselves. We need to be with others.
Well, I have one other question, since you
sure.
mentioned that the universe or the spirit will bring more to me. And I recently, just before this call, my dad, who's an alcoholic, called and said, can I please stay with you? And I really feel like he needs therapeutic help, not my help, because I'm in this really happy place now. But yet I also think, well, the universe just offered something. Do you have any encouragement or advice there?
You know, this is one of those situations where you need to go to your spiritual guidance. You need to go inside to how you feel and see what your feelings tell you about your feelings, as you know, from practicing inner bonding, or your inner guidance system. And you need to go to your higher self, your higher guidance system, and to ask, what is in my highest good here regarding my father? Is it in my highest good to have him come and stay here? Or is that not loving to me? And you need to get clear. You know, what I do when I have to make a decision is I go inside to my feelings and I see what it feels like, what my little girl inside wants and needs and feels, and then I go to my spiritual guidance and I ask about what is most loving to me, what's in my highest good, and when the two line up, I have my decision. So it's not like it's right, that like there's a right or wrong answer, that somebody can give you an answer and say, well, you should or shouldn't have your father live with you. You have to go inside. You have to discover what would be in your highest good, and that's one of the beauties of practicing inner bonding, is that that's why I said before, you become your own guru. You stop going to other people to tell you what's right for you and what's wrong for you, because you're the world's expert on you. Nobody can tell you what you should or shouldn't do about your father. So why don't you go inside for a moment right now, and what do you feel inside when you think about having your father come live with you?
I feel like it could be an opportunity for both of us, as long as there's very clear boundaries set.
And okay, that now that's a thought. That's a thought. What's the feeling?
The feeling is, this is interesting, the feeling is actually, oh no, is everything going to be okay? What will I have to contend with?
Okay, so the thought is this could be good for me, but the feeling is, oh, I'm not sure about it. Okay, now go to your spiritual guidance and ask, what is in my highest good? Just ask the question, what is in my highest good?
Okay.
And just see what pops into your mind.
I got no.
Okay.
The first thing that flashed into my mind.
That it's not in your highest good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Right.
Now go down inside and see how the no feels.
The no feels very bad.
Okay, so that feels bad. So there's a discrepancy between the guidance saying no and your feeling inside. That doesn't feel good, right?
Right.
Okay. What I want to suggest to you, since we're almost out of time here, is that you spend a day or so embracing the no and see what happens inside. See how you feel. Then you spend a day embracing a yes.
Okay.
And see how that feels. And okay. See if you can reach a place where you get lined up between what you feel your guidance is saying to you and what you're feeling inside with your inner guidance.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. And we're just about out of time. Did anybody else have a very brief question that you wanted to ask? Yes, go ahead.
This is Audrey. I just sent the question to you. But just let me say that I have a psychology background. I've been through therapy years ago following or in the midst of a divorce, 10 years out of relationships, started back up myself, and poorly that, you know, oh, I get emotionally entangled with somebody and not get my needs met. But the article that you wrote is exactly myself and my partner, and we're at a crisis point, and we're Christians, but when it comes to the things that are happening in the relationship, they feel very painful to me. So my question is around the wounded feelings versus the core feelings. I know that I have the knowledge, just like you were saying, but I don't know that coming into a relationship after being not in a relationship for 10 years, the codependency is rearing its ugly head again. And I'm in alarm mode because I feel that, that I need to do some more work on me. My question is whether or not you can do this inner bonding and keep a relationship that's in crisis mode, or should you discharge that relationship until you have worked on yourself some more?
No, actually, I suggest that people don't leave the relationship because so much of what is getting touched off is within the relationship. A lot of people do fine when they're on their own. They take care of themselves, and their issues are not getting touched off. It's within the relationship that the issues get touched off. So I do not suggest that people leave the relationship unless there's abuse. If there's physical abuse, sexual abuse, you know, deep emotional abuse, then yes. But if there's just the regular codependent issues going on, I do not suggest that people separate. I suggest that you just start to focus on learning to take loving care of yourself and see what happens within the relationship as you do that. And so I really want to suggest that you download the free course, learn and practice inner bonding, you know, join the membership site and really get in and practice inner bonding. You will be so stunned at what happens very rapidly within a relationship. I mean, as I said, I've been working with couples for 42 years. It's really, really amazing what happens when even just one person of a relationship starts taking responsibility for themselves, gets their eyes off their partner, stops blaming, stops feeling like a victim, and starts to take loving care of themselves. The whole system changes, and people are so often stunned about that. We also have a brand new course called the Intimate Relationships Toolbox, which we're just going to be announcing. And it's a 12-week online course that you download every week that couples can do. It's a very powerful course, and that's another avenue. If you're interested in that, before we announce it, you can email me at margaret@innerbonding.com, and I'll send you the link to the Intimate Relationship Toolbox.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Okay, well, I think we're about done here, and I'm going to unmute so I can say goodbye to everybody here. Well, thank you all for joining me, and it's been a pleasure spending this time with you, and I hope to see you all on the website.
Thank you, Margaret.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.